Blog Talk Radio.
Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, March 28th, day number 87 of 2013. And when I was growing up, we used to call this Holy Thursday. I guess, well, they call tomorrow Good Friday, but I used to call it Holy Friday. But anyway, that's what this is, the Thursday before Good Friday. We're going to be talking tonight with Leslie Eastman, and she has a wonderful friend who is going to be joining us as well, Robin Donnelly, who's a lady with a tremendous background, a great career. We're going to be hearing a lot about that tonight. Just a quick update on the book, Cubanos in Wisconsin. First of all, we had a great success last week after the interview with John Batchelor. I mean, we had a really nice pickup in sales. That was a great interview, and I'm very grateful to Mr. John Batchelor for that particular interview. It just went absolutely great. But, you know, it's available in Kindle. It's available in print. And one of my sons went into the website. This is number one son. He went into the website, and he rearranged everything, and now the website looks just absolutely fabulous. We've got interviews. We've got reviews. We've got pictures. I mean, it looks just absolutely wonderful, the great job that he did on the website. So again, thank you so much for all the comments, all the messages about the book. We appreciate them very much. And again, thumbs up to number one son. He did a fantastic job with the website. We're going to take a break, and we'll be talking to Leslie Eastman right after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and let's say hello to Leslie Eastman. How are you, Leslie?
Well, great, Silvio. Happy to be joining you for another fun evening of informative and profitable discussion.
Absolutely, and this is going to be a good one tonight. I'm really looking forward to Robin's presentation. I'll have you talk a little bit about Robin in just a minute, but just a quick thing here on this day in history. I found a couple of things here that were very interesting. In 1939, the Spanish Civil War ended, and that's one of the big events of the 20th century for those of us from Latin America. President Eisenhower passed away in 1969, one of the great citizens of the 20th century. And here's one that I think both you and I remember, Leslie, at least I do. Three Mile Island. This was the day that they had that nuclear accident that became quite a controversy on this day in 1979. It just doesn't seem possible that it was 34 years ago, Leslie.
Yeah, no, I sort of remember the sequence of events. A movie had been released called The China Syndrome just before Three Mile Island occurred. And what happened was the media, it had been in everybody's mind because of the movie, drummed up so much negative publicity on, you know, yes, an incident, but one that was handled, that it killed off America's nuclear power industry. And despite the fact countries like France have successfully powered over 70% of their electricity with a nuclear capability, we've reduced our footprint substantially. That has left us with less reliable options on the table and at the mercy of green technology activists.
That's right. No, you're exactly right. I think that was blown out of proportion, and you're right, it had a very negative impact on the nuclear power industry. We would have been so much further ahead right now than we are, and we wouldn't be dependent on countries that have oil that don't necessarily like us and countries that are technically enemies of the United States. But I got to ask you about legal insurrection or college insurrection. How is that going?
Well, we've had a lot of good material published. I had two posts that were fairly well received on legal insurrection. I'm really proud of. One is a great post called "The Engineer Who Led the Climate Change Train Wreck," And it seems that a group of British scientists have done a presentation that indicates global temperatures have remained essentially at a standstill for 15 years and goes counter to all the ginned-up science that has presented as incontrovertible fact. And they got one of the most activist government organizations to finally concede that there is no such thing as global warming, and especially man-made. So that was a thrilling bit of information. And the second one is we've been following, or I've been following for the site, the situation in Cyprus closely, inspired, among others, by Dr. Elena Johnson-Poe, who's such a marvelous and informative guest on economics in the international sphere. So I was able to contribute a few perspectives on Cyprus, courtesy of also one of our terrific bloggers, W.C. Verones, who is our economics expert. So that was thrilling this week. And, you know, we'll toss Save College Insurrection for when Mr. Aaron Clary shows up. So,
right, exactly. He'll show up a little bit later. Well, I tell you what, let's not keep her waiting any longer, and let's say let me say hello to Robin. How are you, Robin?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. And I'm going to let Leslie give you a quick introduction there, Leslie.
Well, this is going to be an evening. One of the directions I wanted to take our show was investigating science and technology. And as an extra bonus, we can delve into flaming capitalism, because Robin Donnelly is one of my inspirations for being a really gracious, innovative go-getter who's making a real business success with a medical device that she was inspired to create based on her work as optometric therapist. So Robin, the device is called Vision Coach, but I'd like to set it up and tell people how I got to know you a bit, if that's okay.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I met Robin courtesy of her husband, George Donnelly. In my sphere of punditry, people often forget I make my real money being an environmental health and safety specialist and a technical writer of some note. George hired me to prepare technical documentation for his firm, Environmental Remediation Management, to do hazardous waste and chemical processes and closure of facilities, which sadly in California there's a lot of. Prepared documents with him, and he was so impressed with my writing abilities that when Robin needed somebody to whip up some verbiage for her website and eventually for some publications, that kindly contacted me. And I was really intrigued by the device she created, Vision Coach, which can be used in rehabilitation therapies for a wide variety of applications, including sports therapy. So I thought Sylvia would enjoy hearing some of her sports therapy stories.
Yeah, I wish I had known you, Robin, when I was trying to throw a curveball. I wish I had known you, because maybe I would have been able to play in the major leagues.
You never know.
Yes. So, Robin, tell us how you came to be a business owner in California, and how, you know, just a little bit of the background on Vision Coach.
Okay. Well, I am an optometric vision therapist by trade, and I worked at a well-known facility here in San Diego, California, the San Diego Center for Vision Care, from 1999 to 2007.
Now, what does an optometric vision therapist do? So we can give your audience a feel for working with people.
Right. Well, let me tell you, vision therapy is a sequence of neurosensory and neuromuscular activities which are prescribed and monitored by a doctor, usually an optometrist, and that's to develop and rehabilitate and enhance visual skills. These activities that are prescribed by the optometrist are the result of a comprehensive eye exam or consultation, which takes into consideration results of standardized tests, the needs of the patients, and the patient's signs and symptoms. So vision training, also known as vision therapy, consists of a variety of programs to enhance the visual performance, the visual system. For instance, eye movement disorders, insufficient eye teaming, which we call binocularity, misalignment of the eyes, which could be strabismus, focusing problems, a wide variety of things. So a vision therapist is somebody who, you know, prescribes the therapy that the doctor, you know, prescribes for the patient.
And so it's designed to help people, you know, you're not just putting on glasses. When you are connecting the eyes and the brain senses that go with the eyes, it's helping people see just one image instead of two images, their peripheral vision, their balance.
Right. I'll tell you what, vision, the definition of vision is the process of deriving meaning from what is seen. Now, 20/20 means, all 20/20 means, because you hear people say, well, I can see perfectly because I have 20/20 vision. All that means is that you can see small things far away. But like you were saying, it doesn't mean that you have the ability to team your eyes together, to maybe in sports track a ball in flight, be able to accommodate from, like for a child, from a book, which is close up 14 to 16 inches from their eyes across the room to the board and then back to their book and be able to focus and see clearly. You know, often children in school, they will be looking at their book and the words are moving around and they don't know any different. They'll look over at their friend's book and the words are moving around, so they just think that's the way it's supposed to be. So these are some of the things that we work with. It's not just about seeing things clearly, but it's about deriving meaning from what is seen and how to work your eyes together to have the best success. You know, the visual system is responsible for gathering over two-thirds of all information fed to the brain. So it's really, it's a brain thing.
Yeah, it's like the key human sense. So
absolutely,
it's much more than just strapping on a pair of glasses. And I wanted the audience to really get a sense of, because that's one thing I learned while working with you, just the entire visual process and how keyed in our brain is with it. So what inspired you in the first place to become an optometric vision therapist?
You know, it wasn't something I sought out. It was kind of something that dropped into my lap, and I went for it. I was hired by this center, and they actually wanted to find somebody that really knew nothing about it because they wanted to train them from, you know, their way of training. And I got the job and ended up becoming the lead therapist at that facility. So it wasn't something I sought out right away, but fell in love with it and just saw how it was helping so many people, and it just became a passion.
Yeah, no, I can see how, especially if you go to my website through Silvio's link, there's a video which actually shows you your vision coach being used and what a dramatic difference in people's lives, and that must be very gratifying for you
as a professional. Yeah, it really is.
I was going to say very quickly, Leslie, that we also put that link up in Facebook. So people can also go to that link, not just through the website, but through, I mean, not just through the show information, but also on Facebook. So
that would be great, Silvio, because that video was put out by some research partners of ours, and they did a fantastic job explaining the Vision Coach, highlighting it, the exclusive features. You know, it's got patient use, testimonial, and then even some research that's going on with it. So I think for your viewers to get a really good concept of what the Vision Coach is, that would be a great video for them to view.
Well, thank you so much. Let me get a quick question in, Leslie, because this is a curiosity I've had since I saw Robin's name, okay? In Mexico, there is I'm not originally from Mexico, but I lived in Mexico and have had contacts with Mexico for a long time. In Mexico, there is a very significant company in the eyeglass business, and it's owned by a family named Donnelly. Is this any relation to you?
Not at all.
That's interesting. It was really quite a coincidence when you were talking about vision and all of that. They pretty much have the market on eyeglasses and contact lenses. It's a very nice family. I've had a chance to meet them. But anyway, I just had that curiosity. Let me give it back to Leslie.
All right, so you've now got, you know, a lot of experience as a therapist actually doing the therapy. And at this point, What inspired you to design your Vision Coach system? Let's break it in two parts. What is the Vision Coach system, and how were you inspired to actually get a design and start the building process?
Sure. Well, the Vision Coach is a large interactive light board that I designed. It's state-of-the-art, and it's designed to promote and enhance visual function, muscular coordination, and neuromotor abilities. And we can go into a little bit more down the road here on how it operates, but how I was inspired to develop something like this. Like I said, it's an interactive light board. There are other interactive light boards out on the market, and there have been for quite a few years. And we're
and when you say interactive light board, it's literally people standing in front of this board and touching the screen or otherwise, you know, doing some input in it that requires their sight to be involved.
Right. I'll back up a little bit. So the Vision Coach is a large interactive light board, and it will display lights on it at certain times. You can program it different ways, and what the patient's trying to do is respond to them by seeing the light and then reaching up and depressing the light. So where their eyes point, their body should respond. And so one of the simplest tasks would be seeing a light, reaching up and depressing it, and what you're looking for is speed of recognition and reaction. That's used in rehabilitative therapy as well as sports vision training. So that would be one of the basic things that you would do. But it has, you know, all different ways that you can program it. You can program different fields of the board. So, for instance, if you had a stroke patient that had a deficit, which means they're not aware of a certain area of space anymore. It exists, but they're not aware that it exists. And let's say their left side, they don't know it exists. You can program the left side of the board so they can then learn how to turn to the left, scan, see their environment, respond to it, and then come back. And when they learn those skills, those are the skills you want to learn. So when they go out into their real world, they're going to realize when they're walking through a door that they need to scan over to the left and see that that door jams there, or they're going to slam right into it. So the Vision Coach can be programmed in a multitude of ways, but basically that's what I mean when I say an interactive light board. It's a large board with lights that can be programmed different ways, and then the therapist can, you know, prescribe therapy the way that they need to for that patient.
So it's very personalized. And so what inspired you to design your system?
Well, as I was saying, when I worked at the center, I worked there for 8 years. I did become the lead therapist there, and I would think probably about the last 5 years, I would be working with patients with different devices, and I always thought to myself, boy, if I was to make one of these boards, I would do this, I would do that. Because I always thought, who made these boards? And when I researched it, I found out that most of them were developed by an athlete for athletes and found their way into rehabilitation therapy, which is fine, or an engineer had an idea and sold it to rehabilitation facilities. Again, fine. But what I found was that there were really no boards that had been made with the knowledge and experience, especially of a therapist who had worked with, you know, hundreds if not thousands of patients. So when I was thinking of these things in my mind, not only was I thinking of safety, but different things you could do, and not just for the patient, but also for the therapist. So there are many, many exclusive features on the Vision Coach that you won't find on any other unit, and it's simply because it was designed with knowledge and experience.
Yes, I mean, it is definitely a terrific system. So once you got the inspiration, tell us a little bit about what went into making the first unit.
Well, let's see. When I had this idea, and I talked to my husband about it, and he just simply said, hey, let's do it. And I was floored because I never expected my idea to really come to fruition. I was, you know, it was just a thought in my mind, boy, if I could do this, I'd do it different. His thought was, let's go for it. He said, you know, during a recession is the best time to start something like this up, and, you know, I'll help you, and let's get going. So we looked around. He found a software engineer, and we spoke with a certain person, and he he thought it was a good idea, and he was able to put something together. We worked with mechanical engineers, and it just came to fruition very, very quickly. In fact, from the idea, the conception to an actual prototype at a convention, it was only 9 months. So we just went with it, and that's how it came to be that quickly.
Yeah, that is. And actually, I think you make a good point, which as a flaming goddess of flaming capitalism, I would like to highlight. Starting a business during recession, though challenging, is a very good time because
right.
you know, get you to shake loose from what you were doing and perhaps pursue other options. So
right, and I will say that, you know, my husband has had his own business for 20 plus years, and my thought was, I don't know what to do with this. I mean, I'm a therapist. I know what I have in my head. So he said, let me do the business end of it. You do the therapist end of it. And so that's exactly what happened. And so he got the business end of it. He got the vendors together, and I came in with my ideas and told him what I wanted, and it's still like that to this day. It's kind of split down the middle. He does the more the business end of it, and I do more of the you know, exhibits, in services, marketing, training, things like that.
Yeah, it sounds like you and I have the same business plan, because my husband handles all the finances and taxes, and I'm
right.
ever so grateful.
Me too.
Since the first one, your market is in hospitals, or where have you, where are some of the where, how many have you built so far, and what are some of your more intriguing clients?
Well, I'll tell you what we first started out thinking was that we would build, this would be a great little part-time job for me, and we'd build so many units and I could market them to behavioral optometrists, you know, optometrists that did vision training, and so that's what we went in thinking, and we built a few, and I went to the first convention, which was the College of Optometrists in Vision Development, and that's where it debuted, and it did pretty well there. And then the following year, I stumbled across the American Association for Occupational Therapy, and I went to that conference in Orlando, Florida in 2009, and the occupational, physical, and speech and language therapist and neurorehabilitation professionals were there. And once I went to that convention, it absolutely exploded into the rehab world, and it has not been a part-time thing since that day. It is more than a full-time thing. And we have these units in rehabilitation facilities across the country. We do have them in optometry practices, but our main client is rehabilitation with sports coming up, sports vision training and sports facilities coming up behind that. But like I said, across the country now, we do have our second and third units being purchased by hospital facilities, and so we're well on our way into it.
Yeah, and I think brings up a really great point of how when you start a business with a product, sometimes it ends up in used for something you didn't quite anticipate. You know,
absolutely.
Like, and I think we both discussed earlier today how because the population is getting older, that rehabilitation from strokes, from other health concerns, especially related to age, is going to be a vast market for medical devices.
Right, right. And for this one in particular, it is a great device. I will say it's a great idea, but I will say it also, timing played a big role in it. Vision training has been around for over 60 years, but I would say probably in the last 10 to 15 years, it has really gained recognition with the fact that now we know that the brain can create new pathways and there's actual documentation of this. You know, what I've known for a long time has really just kind of exploded onto the scene with neurorehabilitation. And I'll tell you, with our soldiers coming back from the war with blast injuries, any soldier that's had a blast injury has a head injury. And so they are coming back with all kinds of symptoms. And so I would say timing probably played a really big part in this being so successful.
Yeah, no, it you know, I think there's things that happen for a reason, and you know, obviously your equipment coming on market just at the right time is one
mm-hmm.
of definitely, you know, and highlights, you have the real entrepreneur, you have to be able to put it out there, and then you have to be able to adjust your market plan to meet an opening in the market
right.
that was not recognized. So I think it's just
right.
a really great inspiration for the audience. And, you know, it just really, you know, highlights just how successful and flexible you are in terms of what you do, which I think is quite admirable.
Well, I have learned, being in business for yourself, you have to be flexible. You don't always have the control that you think you would.
No.
Leslie, let me jump in for a second because we're headed for a break, and then we have another segment with Robin. But, Robin, can I ask you a very quick question? I keep hearing medical device. Now, is this the same thing as the controversy that we have with Obamacare and the tax on medical devices? Are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah, it is a Class 1 medical device, and, you know, we'll see what's going to happen here. I know that I did see some significant dip in sales last year, and it was due to budget constraints and, you know, so we'll see what happens. But it is a Class 1 medical device.
Well,
yeah,
you kind of jumped ahead on one point I was going to bring up after the bottom of the hour, but I'll bring it up now. Apparently, there is a resolution to rescind the medical device tax because all of a sudden people are discovering unpopular aspects of Obamacare. And though it isn't a quote-unquote part of the bill or anything, it's a resolution, it guides bipartisan support, and it was signed off by, of all senators, Al Franken.
Right. Well, what happened was when they read the bill, they realized that there was a tax in there, and maybe they thought that they would get lucky and the Supreme Court would throw it out. They wouldn't have to cross the bridge or cross the river, but they're at the point right now where they're having to implement this thing, and it's turning out to be a lot more complicated. I tell you what, Robin, we're going to take a break right now. So if you could just sit there for a second, and Leslie and I are going to take a little break, and we're going to hear from Aaron Cleary, Captain Capitalism, and his brand new book, Enjoy the Decline. So Robin, take a break, and Leslie and I will be right back to you. We're talking to Robin Donnelly and Leslie Eastman tonight, and I'm fascinated with this because I'm the least technical guy here tonight. So I'm enjoying this conversation a great deal. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and let's bring in Captain Capitalism. How are you, Captain?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Absolutely great. Say hello to Leslie.
Hey, Aaron. How are you doing, my friend?
Hello, love. How are you?
I am happy to be talking tonight, though I'm probably a little warmer than you, but happy to hear you got lots of firewood.
I got a great score today. It was a great free score, absolutely.
And what's the temperature in Minnesota tonight, Captain?
Well, right now it's probably about 25, 26, a little bit below freezing. And so that's why we're still scrounging for firewood right now.
Well, that's actually warmer than I thought it was because I've been reading about some cold temperatures up there.
Yeah,
I think you've had
them
this week, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. No, it was below zero no more than a week ago, but it's been an extended winter, and that's why, you know, going and, you know, scrounging for firewood has become quite key. But, yeah, unfortunately, the temperatures are going to be going up pretty soon, and soon the motorcycle and the convertible are going to be coming out.
Okay, very good. Well, Captain Capitalism is the author of the book Enjoy the Decline. He's also the author of the book Worthless. And we're talking with him tonight about one of those two books, or obviously we can talk about both if you like, but let's talk about Enjoy the Decline, because last week I told you that I had an email from somebody here in Dallas who asked the question, how do you enjoy a decline? So what would you say to that person?
Well, what I'd say is you appreciate what God has given you, and I'm not even a religious fellow, but somebody up top there said, hey, you're going to be born and you're here. And you got a choice. Do you let things that are outside your control ruin your life and say, oh, woe is me, I can't do this because this or that, and you let the likes of Barack Obama or Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid get to you? Or do you say, you know what, I got all these opportunities, I got all these chances, I got some national parks, I got cute girls I can go and chase after, and that's what I'm going to do instead. So that's pretty much the premise of the entire book, is say, look, you know, accept what you can and cannot control, and what you can control, go and maximize your life based on those things within and variables within your control. So that's what it is. You could say, well, it's kind of commonsensical, like, okay, accept what you can and cannot control, but a lot of people have a lot of problems with that. So I kind of handhold a lot of people to realizing that decision that they have to make.
Well, you know, Leslie, Robin was saying during the first segment how you have to be flexible in business, and I know that very well because I'm a small businessman like you two ladies are small business women, and I think that's a little bit of what Captain is saying in the book. You know, enjoy the decline. You got to be flexible because there are some things out there happening that you probably didn't plan for, but you got to get ready for them, Leslie.
Yeah. You know, one of the comments that appeared in the Amazon reviews a lot is that they critiqued Aaron for having advice that seemed more suited to a single man. However, you can certainly glean sensible precautions to take from it, including getting ready for disasters, which as an emergency response environmental health and safety professional, I could only strongly encourage that you take a good look. I know people are now mocking preppers, but, you know, should any emergency occur, natural or financial, be prepared. And that chapter is alone worth the price of his very reasonably priced book.
Right. Now, you've been doing something else, too, to promote the book, Captain. You've been doing some podcasts. You've been doing some YouTubes. How are those coming along?
Well, they're coming along very well. Kind of a shock to me is, you know, I have my blog, there's various outlets of media, and each outlet of media targets a very unique and different demographic. So, my blog is a bunch of middle-aged guys like me and yourself. You know, we're in our upper 30s, of course. And Leslie, you know, we attract the 20-something women as well. But then you go to YouTube, and it's like
I haven't attracted
kids, like
somebody like
a
woman. Aaron, I have not attracted a 20-something woman in a long time. Okay,
so I know. You're still in the upper teens. I know.
That's right,
got that Latino thing going on.
That's right. I let my sons do that.
Well, things are going great. Each different media attracts a different outlet of people, different demographic of people, and we're doing quite well, especially with Worthless and Enjoy the Decline. I think we're providing some guidance and wisdom to the younger generations so that they go ahead and make some decisions that are going to benefit them that they may not have had from their parents or, you know, maybe an absent father, absent mother. We're providing them some guidance and wisdom to make their lives easier than ourselves.
That's right. And you can get the book on Amazon. You can get Kindle. You can get print. And the best way to get it is go to your website, Captain Capitalism, but you can also get it, I guess, on your own account on Amazon. But we definitely recommend both books, you know, Worthless and Enjoy the Decline. And Aaron, thanks for joining us tonight. Keep up the good work, and we'll chat with you next time.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, thank you so much. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with Leslie and Robin right after this. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Leslie, I got to tell you a story. I think Robin will enjoy this, and then we'll get back to the segment. Let's welcome Robin back on the roundtable. How are you, Robin?
I'm great. Thank you.
I got a little story, Leslie, I got to tell you. This evening, before I did the show, I was invited There's a Hispanic club here in Dallas, a very interesting place where you go talk about your business, very fascinating place, and it was being held at a Peruvian restaurant, and Peruvian food is fantastic. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic, but not exactly very calorie-oriented, if you know what I mean. I mean, you have to watch what you eat. So as I'm getting out of the car and I'm walking into this restaurant, what do you think is right next to the restaurant? A Weight Watchers place. So I'm saying to myself, that must be a message from God, you know, that I need to watch what I eat tonight. But anyway, Peruvian food, I would recommend it to anybody in the audience. It's absolutely, absolutely fantastic. Well, let's get back to our interview, Leslie, with Robin.
All right, Robin, this segment, I would love to have you share some of its youth experiences with the audience. And let's start with Silvio's special interest sports. In the video, you said it's used for NASCAR and crew. And tell us some of the facilities and some of the athletes your system has already helped.
Okay. Well, actually, we have right up the road from us here in San Diego, USC has two vision coach units. And when they built their $70 million John McKay Athletic Center, they contacted us to come up and talk to them about the vision coach because they wanted to incorporate sports vision training. And they did go ahead and install one at their brand-new athletic center, which is beautiful. And a couple months later, we went up to do some training with them, and the head baseball coach was watching and took me aside and said, come on over here. Can we fit one in the baseball locker room so the baseball players can have at it whenever they need to? And within 2 or 3 days, we had another one installed, actually right in the baseball locker room. So USC has two units. Now, our big team, our biggest team would be the Pittsburgh Pirates. Just received their second of third that they're going to order. So we have the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I am told they have some of the best training that there is for baseball. So we were thrilled to, collaborate with them. We have.
We'll really have to have a chat with the Padres then.
I really do. So if they're listening, they need to call me.
Yes, I think so, Leslie. I think you do have that baseball knowledge.
Because I'm from Detroit, I might suggest the coach from the Detroit Tigers give you a buzz as well.
I think so.
But Robin, what is it, if I may just jump in for a second, what is it about a baseball team? Because, I don't think a lot of people understand all of the little injuries that a baseball player has. Baseball players obviously don't tackle or collide like they do in football, but it's all kind of little injuries because sometimes when you're sliding into a base or even when you swing the bat, you can pull a muscle or whatever, just very different injuries. So I can see why your service would be so valuable to a baseball team.
Right. Well, vision and balance integration is just one of the things. Visual stamina, depth perception, their peripheral awareness, their central and peripheral integration, eye-hand-body coordination. There's just a wealth of things that an athlete would want to hone, those skills. The athlete that does not train their visual system is really missing the key component of their training, and that's vision. Like I said earlier, with two-thirds of all the information being fed to the musculoskeletal system, that athlete that's not focusing on his visual skills, his or her visual skills, is really missing out.
Well, especially a baseball player with a baseball coming at you 96 miles an hour.
Absolutely.
60 feet away.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's, you better have your visual stuff. Well, let me pass it back to Leslie.
So, yeah, do you know anything of its use in the NASCAR or crew programs, which were described on the video that I caught?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on with that. We just recently finished a project with a major NASCAR pit crew team. We are actually going to continue that project. So after it's continued, it will be published, and you'll know all about it. But what we did is we had the vision coach and the pit crew members, they actually had a wall that they jumped over, slid in across the floor to the vision coach, and responded to the vision coach, the lights on the vision coach, first of all with their hands, but then second of all, Clemson University ICAR Center, that's the International Center for Automotive Research, they came in and they retrofitted the gun that the impact gun that they used to put the lug nuts on, and they actually jumped over the wall, slid into the vision coach, and hit the lights with the impact wrench. So the vision coach is very, very durable. We knew it was durable through our research and development, but this really upped the ante, and so it was hit over a couple thousand times with no damage to it all. So that's how it was being used in that project. And like I said, we're going to be continuing more data collection with them with the Vision Coach.
So Sylvia, you can see why I wanted to bring Robin on. Isn't this fascinating?
No, it's absolutely incredible. This is, as I said, something brand new to me. It's just amazing how creative people can be, and how somebody like Robin, with her abilities and talent and you know, just knowledge, how you can turn that into a business. That's the other thing that fascinates me, how people can turn their passion into a business, Robin.
Mm-hmm. I was told by the doctor I used to work for, you have to love what you do, and I certainly do have a passion, and I think that that's why this has become so successful, because there's a lot of passion. My heart is in this to help people and just to see people get better.
Now, speaking of that, because I, you know, watched the video myself, there's some very, you know, touching therapy cases. Could you probably discuss a little bit about the cerebral palsy patient who was featured on that video?
Right. Well, for the viewers that haven't seen it yet, he wanted to get into a driving program, but his skills, his visual skills, were not up to par to even meet, you know, the requirements to go into a driving program. So they did introduce him to the vision coach, and through doing therapy sessions with the therapist there, and that's at Roger C. Peace Rehabilitation Hospital in South Carolina, he has done so well that he is now doing behind-the-wheel driving. And so that is just, that's what warms my heart. You know, I often, just getting in the thick of being in the business, forget what the real goal is. And then I get to see somebody like Travis, you know, fulfill a dream of being able to get behind a wheel and take a driver's test. And not only did it help him with that, but he played wheelchair tennis, but was never able to compete because his skills just weren't good enough. And now his tennis coach is looking for tournaments for him to be able to play in, because his visual skills, his eye hand body coordination, speed of reaction, recognition, depth perception, everything has been enhanced, and he's able to now compete.
Interesting. What about musicians? Have you been able to work with musicians?
No, I have not worked with musicians.
No, I mean, for example, a guitar player or even a violinist. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of coordination that it takes to play
You're
guitar
right.
and
right.
a violin.
Yeah, but I have not worked with anyone.
Yeah. Well, that might be a new market for you. I just thought about
you
that when
know.
You were talking
right.
About it. Well, Leslie, let me ask a question about the business climate in California. I don't want to jump into that first, but do you have something else that you wanted to ask?
No, we'll segue into that because I
okay,
can.
Good. Yeah.
Jump back.
No, okay. So let me go ahead and ask it now. We hear a great deal about the business climate in California. What can you say about that?
Are you asking me or
yeah,
Leslie?
Robin,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, Robin. Yeah, Robin.
Well, it's tough. In fact, we have decided to take our manufacturing, and we have from the beginning, all our manufacturing is done in Corvallis, Oregon. So we took the step right away to not even try. Well, we did have a couple of vendors here in California that we tried to work with, but they just weren't able to competitively, you know, beat the prices of the vendors we have up in the Pacific Northwest. And even the parts that we asked them to make, they just didn't meet our requirements. So everything's done up in the Pacific Northwest. It has been from just about the very beginning, and we are determined to keep it up there.
Yeah.
And hopefully segue bring the rest of the business into Oregon probably within the next year.
Interesting. Well, I hate to hear that because, you know, California is such a nice place, but I can understand why people feel that way. Leslie?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, people who live in Texas are get a little concerned when they hear another California leaving, because usually Texas is the destination, but...
Right.
But we can't have everything, you know.
it can't go completely empty. George wrote me a little note expanding upon this, and he points out his main aspect of his business for about the past, you know, especially in the last 5 years, has been facility closures. And it's shutting down of the aerospace industry, shutting down of other technical and chemical base that have been over-regulated, over-permitted. Now a few of the biotechnologies that were supposed to be the bread and butter of the San Diego industry, because we have University of California, San Diego, and its premier of biochemical institutions, a lot of the people who were supposed to start up business here are going to more business friendly climes. So it's still really, really challenging, and it's likely to be so into the foreseeable future. So
yeah, it's
right.
A shame. It's a real shame.
Yeah. So just, you know, happy to hear Robin's business is doing as well as it is. As a matter of fact, Robin, you were mentioning a few upcoming events. Why don't you tell everybody what's going to go on for you for the next couple months?
Right. Well, the last two weekends in April are very busy for us, and thankfully these conferences are in San Diego this year. We usually take off every year for a 3 to 4 week tour, giving in services and doing, you know, exhibits and conferences. So I'm thrilled that one of the biggest ones is here in San Diego, and that's the American Occupational Therapy Association. That'll be the last weekend of April here in San Diego at the San Diego Convention Center. They have between 4,000 to 6,000 attendees, and these are mostly occupational therapists from all over the country and even, you know, parts of the world that come to this convention. So this is a big one for us. And the weekend before that is the NORA conference, and that is the Neuro-Optometric Rehabilitation Association conference. And it's a smaller conference, but it is very specific to neurorehabilitation, so it's a great place for us to be.
Great, absolutely great. Robin, how would you, you know, to someone like me who doesn't understand anything at all about technical stuff, what do you call your business?
What do I?
What industry is it?
I am a medical device.
In the SIC codes, you know, well, what are you in?
I am a medical device.
All right. That's what I thought. Okay, mm-hmm. I just wanted to, because I had a note here, because I was trying to find your business in the SIC codes. I don't know if the audience knows what that is. Leslie, the SIC codes is how businesses are characterized.
And
I was just trying to understand where it would be. Yeah, where it would be on there. Yeah.
Well, Sylvia, we're medical device and manufacturing, because, like I said earlier, not only did I design it, but we manufacture it ourselves.
Okay, so that explains
right.
that. We have time for a couple more minutes, Leslie, so if you have one more question.
Yes, I do, and this is going to be an important one, Robin. If people want to, what websites, what are your websites, how do people go and find out more, and possibly maybe there was a coach or two listening in Sylvia's audience tonight.
Right. Well, you can find us on the World Wide Web at visioncoachtrainer.com. And if you can't remember that, if you Google Vision Coach, we come up right at the top. So that would be the easiest way to get to us. Either Google Vision Coach and you'll see us on the first page, or go to visioncoachtrainer.com.
In fact, Leslie, I have a good friend, Bob McCleary, who's been on our show many times when we do our sports program, and he's a baseball coach in the Philadelphia area. And I'm gonna send him this information, because he's in touch with a lot of high schools, a lot of colleges in that area, and that might be something of value to him and to some of his clients out there.
And Sylvia, I think it will, because not only is a vision coach used for sports vision training and rehabilitation, it's used in the military for tactical responding, and also now in sports vision training, you know, baseline testing and post-concussion rehabilitation are huge, and the vision coach can be used for both of those.
Absolutely. That's very interesting, because as you were indicating, there are many, many soldiers, you know, coming back from war, as always happens, who bring back injuries, and your service, your product would be something they could really use. But Robin, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was an absolute treat. I learned a great deal, and I want to thank Leslie very much for making this connection. It was absolutely very interesting.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, and my best to you and to your husband. And I think, Leslie, you would agree that these are two great examples of American capitalism. You know, two people with an idea, they come together, they form a company. I think you would agree that this is what America is all about.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I was really excited to have Robin on. I think she's an example to the entrepreneurial spirit that makes this country as great as it is.
Absolutely, and I loved it, Robin, when you talked about flexibility. That's exactly right. When you are in business for yourself, you have to be very flexible. It sounds like you and your husband really know what you're doing. And again, I want to congratulate you and your husband for the fantastic job that you've done and all the people you're serving. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful Easter weekend.
Thank you to both of you. Thanks so much.
All right. Good night, Robin.
Night.
We're going to good night. We're going to take a little break, and I'll be back to close it up with Leslie right after this. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and let's bring Leslie back. Wonderful lady. I mean, an absolutely wonderful lady. But I think the point we made there at the end, you know, the idea of two people, her husband and Robin, coming together and forming a company and having success and having to go through all the ups and downs of having a company, you know, having to move manufacturing operations somewhere else, all of that stuff, that's what makes this country great, that we have people like that, Leslie.
Yeah, no, you know, and besides, what she makes has really transformed the lives of so many people, and I hope, you know, people are interested enough to check out her website and check out the video and really get a feel for what vision therapy treatments can do for them. And there might be somebody in the audience who's suffering from dyslexia or cerebral palsy or has difficulty with hand-eye coordination, like myself, who might actually now go out and look for an optometric therapist, and also maybe somebody who uses her equipment. So, you know, it's just I didn't understand how vision was connected to so much else in the body until I sat down and talked with her. And if we, you know, shared this and made people aware, then I think we did a great service.
No, I think you're exactly right. I was fascinated by the way she was explaining her services and her product, and when she was talking about, you know, the baseball teams like the Pirates and who are using a USC, the baseball team at USC. I mean, it was just fascinating. I mean, this is obviously a couple. Robin and her husband George are obviously great entrepreneurs and just great Americans. We're all very proud of capital like that. Now let's look ahead to next week. I believe that next week you won't be joining us, right?
No, I'm off duty. My son's on spring break, so the young prince and I are going to probably be doing some fun activities, and I am going to spend as little time in front of the computer as I physically can.
Well, I don't blame you next week. So you have a wonderful time now. Do we have something planned for the 14th?
I've got a few irons in the fire, nothing set, but I can give a hint as to what will happen in the week or two after, depending
Good.
On what I coordinate.
Great.
As you probably are aware, on the History Channel, one of the single most popular shows that ever produced is The Vikings. And who
yes.
do we know but Thrand and Eldrimer, who have made Viking, you know, the history and, you know, martial arts videos, and will be joining us to describe a little bit about the Vikings and their military tactics. And Barry Jacobson will be contributing with a real story of Ragnar. So it's going to be one of the evenings coming up shortly be history. And the other one will probably be what's going on in California, because life is never dull in my state.
No.
So, and it's just a matter of getting my peeps to give me dates to schedule. So
Absolutely.
It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. So we're going to wish you a very happy vacation, Leslie, with you and your family. And again, we thank you so much for all the people that you've put us in touch with, and it's been absolutely great. And we look forward to having you back in a couple of weeks after you're rested and you enjoy your family for a good week. And we look forward to lots of great shows on Thursday nights. We're having a lot of fun.
Yes. I've got some other ideas, so I've got to start nailing it down. But I wanted to wish you and your clan a very, very happy Easter weekend. You will be in my prayers, especially all your boys, especially the third one, the youngest one who's been in service, so, and your wife, who kindly lets us borrow you for an hour each day.
Well, thank you so much. I can tell you that our number three son, I got a little story I got to tell you. I put a picture in Facebook of him here in the last hour or so, but he actually went out today and spoke at a school. And all these little kids, you know, 5, 6 years old little kids, were all around him and fascinated with his uniform, and they were all asking questions. And it was really neat to see our son interact with kids and to realize that roughly 15 years ago, not even that, I guess about 15 years ago, he was that size, he was that age. And so it's just kind of cool to see how kids grow up and you know, what happens with your sons. You know, they grow up very fast. I can tell you, I know you have one, and they grow up very fast, Leslie.
Yes, my son's feet are now bigger than mine, so I'm just giving him as many hugs and kisses as he'll let me, because that's soon going to go away.
That's right. No, that's exactly right. Well, you have a great Easter weekend as well with your family, and we look forward to reconnecting with you in a couple of weeks. And thank you very much for Robin, and thanks to you. And I will say thanks to your family for letting us borrow you on Thursday night. Give my best to them.
I will. Good night, Silvio.
Good night, Leslie. And that's going to do it for tonight, folks. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. A very happy Easter to all of you. And look forward to our next chat. Good night, everybody.